Hi, I'm Catherine Marr, President and CEO of NPR. I want to take a moment to say a heartfelt thank you for supporting WSHU. Whether you've made a one-time gift or you're a monthly sustaining donor, your generosity is what keeps WSHU going. Because of you, we can continue to bring you the news, music, and storytelling you rely on every day. Your support ensures that public radio stays strong and accessible to all. Thank you for being an essential part of the WSHU community. We couldn't do it without you.
This summer was a bad one for Long Island's bays and estuaries. Almost all of them experienced fish kills, harmful algal blooms, and oxygen-deprived dead zones. Chris Gobler is a water quality researcher at Stony Brook University.
We had more than two dozen lakes and ponds experience toxic blue-green algae blooms since the spring. That is almost certainly going to be double or more than any other county in New York State.
The poor water quality is due to nitrogen from wastewater runoff. Nitrogen leads to harmful algal blooms that suck the oxygen out of the surface water. Gobler says it's critical to overhaul the wastewater systems to prevent nitrogen from seeping out. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Candidates for New York One took part in a debate on News 12 Long Island last night. Officials say they expect to know what started the brush fire in Berlin by tomorrow. The U.S. Navy subbase in New London is home to one of the largest microgrids on the East Coast. Plus, how New York City could impact congressional races in our region. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. With early voting underway in Connecticut, an international election observer says he's surprised that there's very little signage to indicate a major election is taking place. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
David Dahman is a Swedish national who's been an international observer at elections around the world since the election of President Nelson Mandela in South Africa in 1994. He says he's struck by the lack of major billboards with competing political signage in Connecticut.
So close to an election anywhere in Europe, for instance, you would see banners all over the place and the whole streets with all sorts of information pushing for some candidates or president or what have you. Here things are, not so visible.
Dahman and a colleague from Ireland are in Connecticut and Rhode Island to observe November's general election. They're with the Office of Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, an international organization with 70 member states, including the U.S. The organization will publish its findings on the conduct of the U.S. election after November's vote. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The congressional candidates for New York's 1st District made their case to voters last night at a debate hosted by News 12 Long Island. Republican incumbent Nick LaLota is fending off a challenge from first-time candidate John Avlon. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
LaLota won the seat in 2022. He touted his ability to direct federal funds back to the district for infrastructure projects and water quality. On abortion, the Republican said he would not support a national ban or vote for restrictions in the first trimester.
It's no longer a federal issue. I understand that. And I voted accordingly in Washington when some of my party from the extremes wanted to ban the mailing of mifepristone, an abortion drug across state lines. I stood up and I said, this is not a federal issue. We should not be becoming more restrictive on this.
Avlon described himself as a country over party guy. He emphasized the need to find middle ground politically and restoring the middle class economically. He blamed LaLota for allowing his fellow Republicans to cap state and local tax deductions at $10,000.
We want to get the state and local tax deduction back. Trust the people who want to bring it back, not the people who took it away. Trump and the Republicans took it away.
The race for the 1st District on the East End has gained national attention as Democrats seek to overcome the GOP's slight majority in the House. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Officials say they expect to know what started the brush fire in Berlin, Connecticut by tomorrow. The fire has been burning since Monday, and as of this morning, it's been contained to a 70-acre box. Berlin Fire Lieutenant John Massarillo says teams from the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection are monitoring the air quality.
At this time, there's no concerns about air quality. Some residents in the area might notice, smoke,
And, you know, if they have some sensitivity, asthma, we just recommend that they close the windows and stay out of that condition.
No homes have been damaged and no evacuation orders are in place, but officials say it could take a month to contain the blaze. New York City's handling of the migrant crisis is having an effect on key races in other parts of the state, including New York 4 on Long Island. That story is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Nowadays, we celebrate Halloween with trick-or-treating, maybe visiting a Halloween haunted house display or telling ghost stories. This week's Halloween edition of Sunday Baroque includes a concerto by Antonio Vivaldi that has lots of things that go bump in the night and an iconic piece of horror movie music. It's on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
A new north-south seismic fault line was discovered in the Northeast as a result of last April's 4.8 magnitude earthquake. Researchers say future seismic activity along this fault line is unpredictable and could pose a greater threat than previously understood. New Yorkers must register to vote no later than this Saturday, October 26th, to be eligible to vote in the November election. Voter registrations need to be received either by mail or in person by that deadline. Connecticut sports books took in a record handle of $214 million this week. The Department of Consumer Protection also says that sports books had $26 million in gross revenue for September. DraftKings led online operators with $90 million in wagers, while FanDuel had the highest revenue at $11 million. State and federal officials celebrated a new microgrid at the U.S. Navy sub base in New London yesterday. The project has cost over $250 million. It provides the sub base with the ability to generate power for the entire base when needed. Captain Ken Curtin is the 53rd commanding officer of the sub base.
A microgrid is a self-contained electrical network, often of various interconnected energy distribution systems. It allows you to generate your own electricity on site and use it when you need it most, such as during the interruption of power from the public or commercial grid.
The new microgrid is made up of a combination of generators and fuel cells. It uses natural gas that can be turned on if public power is out. It's the only military base to have a microgrid of this scale on the East Coast. New York City doesn't have any competitive congressional races in this year's general election, but the city's handling of the migrant crisis is having an effect on key races in other parts of the state, including New York's 4th congressional district on the south shore of Long Island. John Campbell reports.
If you've been on Long Island recently, there's a decent chance you've seen this ad.
I'm Laura Gillen, and I'm here at the border of Nassau County.
She's there to talk about a different border between the U.S. and Mexico, some 2,000 miles away. Gillen is running for Congress against Representative Anthony D'Esposito, and she's trying to push back against the idea that Democrats are weak on border security.
I will work with anyone from any party to secure our southern border.
You probably wouldn't have seen a Democrat run an ad like this a couple years ago. But now, immigration policy is a huge issue in a handful of key congressional races in New York City's suburbs and beyond. And that's thanks in part to the city's struggle to shelter tens of thousands of migrants, some of whom were housed elsewhere in New York State.
I think when it comes to my opponent and I, we're just diametrically opposed.
That's Representative Mark Molinaro. His district stretches from the Hudson Valley to Ithaca. He's made border security a huge issue in a tough race against Democrat Josh Riley. His opponent is a lawyer who helped fight against two of Donald Trump's border policies, his ban on refugees from largely Muslim countries, and his push to end protections for certain immigrants who arrived as children.
This guy works for a Washington, D.C. law firm that wanders the halls of Congress, lobbying, advocating, and pressuring for policy. And his policy pressure was to dismantle Trump border security. It's as simple as that.
Riley's launched his own ad to push back against Republican criticism.
On the border, I've opposed the president, and I'll fight for real solutions.
He says he wants to hire more border agents and judges to handle asylum claims. He faults Molinaro for failing to support a bipartisan border security bill in the Senate, which Trump reportedly pushed to kill. And he's got nothing good to say about New York City Mayor Eric Adams' decision to house some migrants in upstate hotels.
He's been a complete failure on this, and it's just another example of upstate New Yorkers being forced to foot the bill for stupid policies out of New York City.
The races on Long Island and in the Hudson Valley could help determine which party takes control of the House of Representatives. As it stands, Republicans have a narrow majority. Every seat is on the ballot November 5th. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And WSHU has a pair of amazing seats to Game 4 of the World Series, and you have a chance to win them. All you need to do is support WSHU by noon tomorrow, and you will be in the running to watch the Yankees take on the Dodgers Tuesday night at Yankee Stadium. Special thanks to FCP Livin for making this possible. Again, you need to enter by noon tomorrow to be in the running, so head on over to WSHU.org for all the information on how to do that. And good luck. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.